Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to continue to listen to Radio Sai. A warm salam to you from the studios of Radio Sai in Prashant Nilayam. We are in the last week of the first month of this new year 2014, and this month indeed has been exciting. The most thrilling event being the annual sports and cultural meet of Sri Sathya Sai Educational Institutions, the day-long spectacular show of patience and power, creativity and color, faith and flexibility that everyone in Prashant Nilayam witnessed on January 11, 2014. And all of you who watch this video live stream on our website also would have enjoyed it. Even now you can watch the videos on our website radiosai.org. In fact, tonight you will find on our website a special appeal concerning the sports meet. And this appeal is a request to you for two things. One is to send feedback on the performances by the students of all the campuses for this sports meet. On the webpage that you will find on our website, we are going to place all these programs campus-wise, and below each program, say below the program of the Prashant Nilayam campus, you will find two boxes. One box is where you can fill in your comments about the various items presented by the students of that particular campus. And right below this box where you can fill in the comments, there's another box where on the top it says your new ideas, please. So that is where we welcome you to share your suggestions about new programs, new items, new presentations which could be probably taken up by Bhagwan students in forthcoming years. Say for example, if you are living in Kerala and you happen to see a particular dance form prevalent in your town or district which could be replicated in Prashant Nilayam by the students here, you could tell us about it. Or if you are in Australia and have seen a stunt being performed by youngsters, say on pogo sticks or something like that, anything that is eye-catching, you could inform us about it. It could be any show, any performance of physical culture, anything that you think would be good to present in Prashant Nilayam. All you have to do is just put down your ideas and in that relevant box and you send it. All we want to do is in some way be useful to Bhagwan's students, to the university. If we can send all this feedback to the students from all over the world about the performance, that will definitely be something which should be very encouraging for them, having put in so much of effort to make that beautiful offering. It needs a tremendous hard work of at least a month, serious hard work, and that is what you see as the fulfillment or the fruit of all that effort on January 11th. So we really want to send positive vibes to the students of all the campuses. So if you will write in, we will pass on all this to the students. And also if you have any new ideas, that would be also something which would encourage them already to prepare something for next year. You know, even for us, wouldn't be a moment of joy for us if in some way we are able to participate and contribute to this glorious celebration of the body, mind and spirit, which happens every year. So here is just one opportunity that occurred to us. Now, something we can do to make this festival more lively, more lovely. So the month of January 2014 had a vibrant start, and the last program in this month, in the Mandir, was yet another vibrant presentation, a masterly dance performance on January 26th, the Republic Day of India. It was entitled Natya Bharati and it was led by the famous exponent of Kuchipudi dance, Kalaimamani Madhava Pedimurthy. And dancing along with him were the boys of the Prashanti dance group. And all the songs that they danced to were aptly focused on glorifying the motherland. And it was a performance which drew spontaneously the accolades from everyone watching. And after we are put on the YouTube, there have been so many views of this video. You must watch this because all the songs were really picked so well and the choreography was, as I mentioned to you, it was superb. So let me just play one song from that beautiful presentation. You will just get a vibe of how it was on that evening of January 26, 2014 in the Cyclone Thal.
Thank you. சுந்தரம் பாரதம் சரள சுமனோகரம் வைபவம் பாரதம் மதுர நீராஜனம் சுந்தரம் பாரதம் சரள சுமனோகரம் வைபவம் பாரதம் மதுர நீராஜனம் ஹிருதயமே புலகிஞ்சனே பரத கானாமృతம் அந்தரம் பாடுதாம் வந்தே மாதரம்
சீதலம் ஷ்யாமலம் மாதரம் சுமதுர சோபினிம் மாதரம்
சுந்தரம் பாரதம் சரள சுமனோகரம் வைபவம் பாரதம் மதுர நீராஜனம்
భరతదేశం
మనసాయి రాముడే జన్మించిన పుణ్యదేశం
ఈ దేశ వ్యాప్తిలో సాయి యుగం కనిపించను చూపులు
ఆ సాయి యుగము పరవళ్లతో వీణమీటెను మనసులో సాయితో జీవితం మాకోవరం అనుక్షణం ప్రేమతో నిర్మించు మందిరం
ధరతి కే మహావీరో కి రాహు పే చల్ బడ్తే జా శక్తి దీజో దిల్ కే సాగర్ మే డూబ్తే జాహు భక్తి దీజో మా జినా హమే తేరే లియే
భారతం
సరళ సుమనోహరం
వైభవం భారతం
మధుర నీరాజనం
హృదయమే పులకించనే భరత గానామృతం
అందరం పాడుదాం వందే మాతరం శీతలం
So like this, they dance to five beautiful compositions. But the icing on the cake of that presentation, Natya Bharati, on January 26, was dancing to Bhagwan's tune. Swami singing that powerful verse, elucidating the greatness of this great land of India and his students. Literally, giving expressions to that call of Bhagwan.
ఖండాంతర ఖ్యాతి నా చించిన మహనీయులను గన్న మాతృభూమి ఖండ ఖండాంతర ఖ్యాతి నా చించిన మహనీయులను గన్న మాతృభూమి పాశ్చాత్య వీరుల పరద్రోలించియు స్వాతంత్రమును గన్న సమరభూమి సంగీత సాహిత్య సస్య విజ్జలందు దిశెక్కి చూపిన దివ్య భూమి చిత్రకళలతోడ చిత్రమైయున్నట్టి భరత భూమి యందు జననముంది భరత మాత ధర్మ భాగ్యము కాపాడ బాధ్యతంతయు మీదే భక్తులార భరత మాత ధర్మ భాగ్యం బుకపాడ బాధ్యతంతయు మీదే భక్తులారా బాధ్యతంతయు మీదే భక్తులారా
దిస్ మీన్స్ The motherland, this motherland, has begotten sons who have earned reputation in continents far and wide. That is what Bhagwan is saying. This valorous land has produced warriors who earned freedom for the land by driving away the foreigners. This divine land had shown excellence in the fields of music and literature. In the end, Bhagwan says, O devotees, it is entirely your responsibility to uphold the righteousness of the land, having been born in this land which is varied with its fineness of art and architecture. O devotees, it is entirely your responsibility to uphold the righteousness of the land in which you are born, and it's a land which is rich with art and architecture. It is a land which has shown excellence in the fields of music and literature. It is a land which has earned freedom. It is a land which has begotten sons who have earned reputations far and wide. It is this glorious land. So this is the call to the devotees from Bhagwan to rise up to the exalted virtues of this ancient land. In fact, that also reminds me of a discourse that Bhagwan delivered on the Independence Day, August 15, 1985. So that is nearly 30 years ago. And in this discourse, referring to the British rule, Swami said, inhabitants of an island, referring to the British nation, inhabitants of an island 11,000 miles away were able to conquer India 16 times its size and having 8 times its population, and they could rule over it for 190 years. Swami said, do you know why? Because of one basic defect, and that is disunity caused by mutual suspicion, selfishness and jealousy. Unity is strength. Disunity brings disaster. And then Swami went on to give the example of Mahatma Gandhi, how as a young barrister he went to South Africa and noticing the despicable racial discrimination there, he started the movement of non-violent Satyagraha. And Satyagraha, Swami explained, is the path of truth and love, where the means is as pure as the end. Gandhi, Swami said, was willing to learn and he had the humility to accept criticism, and that is why he could mold the people of this land and be hailed as the father of the nation. Gandhi planted the seed of unity of all faiths and all communities. He built a great movement, Swami said, he built a great movement on the basis of Atmabalam, the power of the soul. That is what strengthened unity. That is what gave him self-confidence. And then towards the end of this powerful discourse, Swami even said, students should emulate Gandhian principles and in fact become like Gandhi's. As India observes Martyrs Day today, the day honoring the passing away of this incredible being about whom Einstein once said, generations will scarcely believe that such a being ever walked on earth. I feel it is only appropriate that we listen to Bhagwan's voice now, where he is reiterating the sterling character of this great son of Mother India. Here is a 2-minute clip from that very poignant discourse.
ఏ గాంధీ సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క కొంతమంది మాత్రమే ఈ కాంగ్రెస్ అనేటువంటి పేరు పెట్టుకున్నటువంటి వారు భారతదేశానికి స్వతంత్రం తెప్పించారన్నారు. కాదు కాదు, మన పిల్లల లోపల ప్రతి ఒక్క పిల్లవాడు కూడా గాంధీ కావాలి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ దట్ త్రూ గాంధీ అండ్ త్రూ ది ఆర్గనైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ కాంగ్రెస్ విత్ ఎ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు ఒబ్టైన్ independence. But that is not it. Every one of our own children should really become a Gandhi.
Nenu Gandhi Gandhi ani brandi takkurdu.
Declaring oneself as Gandhi, one should not take brandy.
Kanuka Gandhi anaga Gandhi buddhi yokka vikasamu.
Gandhi actually refers to the blossoming of
deenine Gayatri mantram lo pada dhiyo yona prachodayat annaru.
This alone is declared even in Gayatri when it is said dhiyo yona prachodaya.
Pillalu kani peddalu kani hrudayanni vishalam cheskovali, ade nijamainatundi adhyatmikam.
Be it children or elders, one has to broaden one's own heart.
So that's what Bhagwan said. Gandhi is actually development of the dhi, the spiritual intellect, the buddhi in us. In fact, today as we reflect on his life and on his teachings and all the principles that Mahatma Gandhi led, were all inspired by Bhagwan, inspired by that same Rama, inspired by that same Sai Rama. And to commemorate this day, NDSI team came up with a beautiful audio offering and it is titled An Ode to the Mahatma and the Martyrs. It's a creative adaptation of that song Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram, which is also popularly called as the Ram Dhun. This was a favorite of Gandhiji and in fact was sung by Gandhi and his followers as they walked during the historic 241-mile Salt March to Dandi, which is also called the Dandi March. So we took the song and he made a adaptation of this with the children from the primary school and Brother Ravi Kumar singing it as our special offering to Bhagwan on this Martyrs Day. So here is it.
రఘుపతి రాఘవ రాజారామ పతిత పావన సీతారామ ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम
ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम
सबको सन्मति दो भगवान रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम जय सीताराम भज प्यारे मन सीताराम सीताराम जय सीताराम भज प्यारे मन सीताराम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम
Beautiful. This one just got done last night and we uploaded it. You can listen to it, download it from our website, and also you can see, if you go to our website, a video adaptation of this song with lovely footages of Swami and powerful messages of Gandhiji. Gandhiji said, there is only one God in the universe and that is truth. In fact, in the clip that I just played of Bhagwan's discourse, Swami also gave us that essence of spirituality. And when we reflect the divinely inspired life of Gandhiji too, although he fought for the country, for the physical freedom, the undercurrent of his struggle was always spiritual, and his emphasis was on Swarajya and Swatantra, and where Swa referred to that self with that capital S, where each person follows his or her conscience. And history today is a witness to what incredible power gets unleashed in an individual when one conforms to one's conscience uncompromisingly. That is the life of Gandhiji. Many are familiar with the works of Gandhiji. Some know about his life, about his simplicity, integrity and so on. There are very few people in this world today who have seen Gandhiji. I obviously have not seen Gandhiji, but I did get a glimpse of what a tremendous personality he must have been when I met someone who has not only seen and interacted with Gandhiji but also worked with him for 4 years at very close quarters. He's someone who served Gandhiji during the last few years of his earthly sojourn. Someone who was privileged to be his personal secretary from 1944 to 1948. Mr. V. Kalyanam. He's still alive. He's 91 years old and he is simply awe-inspiring. Why? What is so special about him? What does he do now? And why is he so different? And how is he so different from the rest of us? Well, that is what we will be discussing today in this segment of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sahara.
to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, the last segment of Thursday Live, and today we're going to discuss about this awe-inspiring non-Nigerian Gandhian, V. Kalyanam. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 9:12, and yes, we are going to discuss, as I mentioned, the story of V. Kalyanam. He lives in Tenampet in Chennai. We in Radio Sai heard about him because the public relation officer of the ashram told us one day, that's sometime last year, that the daughter of Gandhiji's personal secretary comes to Prashantanilam ashram to do seva every year. Her name is Malini Kalyanam. So we got curious and we met her. And it is then that we realized that truly someone who has worked with Gandhiji is still alive today. So we thought it might be really interesting to meet him, and then we figured that he too has visited Prashantanilam many times. In fact, he never discloses this fact that he has worked with Gandhiji whenever he comes to Prashanti. So he comes as a normal devotee and has his darshan and returns to Chennai. And he's been doing that for many years. After we came to know of him, so we tracked him down, and when he came next to Prashantanilam, we met him, and in fact he came to the studios and he met Professor Venkatraman. And that is when Professor Venkatraman said that we must document his life because he is such a tremendous personality. And that took us, therefore, to Chennai, where he lives, Mr. Kalyanam. And before going to his home, we called him and we asked him, you know, what would be a good time for us to meet you at your home? So as we conversed on the phone, he said, you can meet me 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. That is my visiting hours. I said, what? 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.? I mean, right in the middle of the night? He said, that is the only time I am free. I am busy at all the other times. I didn't know what to say. I said, okay, even though you are busy at all the other time during the day, can we just come and, you know, just pop in? And we will not disturb you in your work, but we'll just be around, hang around as you do your work. He said, okay, fine. I mean, I cannot sit down and talk with you because I'll be really busy with many things. But yeah, fine, you're welcome, you can come. So when should we come? He said, come anytime. You just want to be around, so come anytime. You can come early morning, you can come at any time. And so on the appointed day, we were there at his home at 7 a.m. in the morning. And imagine what I saw him doing at 7 a.m. He was cleaning the entire staircase of his building. His building is a four-storied building. His apartment is in the second floor. But he was literally holding a mop stick, water bucket, and cleaning the entire flight of steps. I was speechless. Too touched, too shocked. And I could not resist talking to him right then and there. Unfortunately, I could record whatever I had captured with him at that moment.
Good morning, sir. I saw you cleaning the staircase right from the second floor. Do you do this every day?
Every day, morning. First thing I do is cleaning. Even if it is at night, if it is dirty, I clean it even at night. I want every place to be clean.
But you are 91 years.
That doesn't matter. That keeps me fit. By working, I keep myself.
Right.
I do this mopping every day. That keeps me fit. And I can keep the place clean, free from dust and other things.
Every day?
I have been doing it for the last nearly 50 years. I cannot do without it. I enjoy doing it.
You enjoy sweeping and mopping?
Any manual work I enjoy. Particularly sweeping and cleaning I enjoy most because I am very fastidious about cleanliness. I want every place to be clean. As long as I am able to perform my duty, I'll carry on.
So is it not actually taxing your body?
No, not at all, not at all. Though in earlier days when I was younger, I used to do it faster. Now it takes me time. Sometimes I feel I will fall down, so I use a stick. You can't at this age walk fast. So having gone old, I need some assistance, and this stick gives me the necessary assistance, and I do it everything slowly. Otherwise, cleaning the whole place from there to top to bottom, it would have taken only 3 minutes. Now it takes me about 25 minutes.
But you still do it?
Still do it. Because that gives me exercise, I can keep the place clean, I don't have to depend on others, they may not do the thing properly, all that I don't want.
Doesn't it at any time make you feel that there are sweepers and other people to do this job?
No, no,
why
no, no.
You do this job?
No, no. Even this place,
you
I
are
have
such a respected individual.
I kept, you know, Gandhi wanted everybody to do sanitary work.
You have done sanitary work?
That is sanitary work. I clean this place every day. Look at this place, it's quite clean. If you go to other places, they won't be clean. I do it every day. Now plants I grow more because it is beautiful.
You're so true. I mean, in this entire street, this is the only building which has a garden.
Nobody is interested. The thing is, people want to enjoy themselves, and even if they go to a garden, they'll start plucking the flowers. I don't like that. So you must enjoy the flower on the plant. You should not bring it home, you know. And it has not cost me anything. I spend nearly 7 hours a day.
7 hours in the garden?
In the garden.
Every day?
Average is about 6 hours.
Oh my God.
And I start my work in the morning at about 5 o'clock. It goes on till 12. Sometimes I stop at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock when I have got some work at home. Otherwise, till 12 I am there. So 5 to 12, I am busy transplanting, turning the mud and watering. Watering I do every day. That takes me only half an hour. Otherwise, you have to transplant plants. For instance, all these don't have to be bought. People buy it.
Yes.
They come to me, they are prepared to pay 50 rupees for this, but I don't give it to them. You know, I ask them to give me some other plant. I exchange. And with roots, I can multiply. For instance, these plants, all these are multiplied. This one, this one, this one, all these. Nothing has been bought in the bazaar, not even one. I had only one of this, now I got 50. I had only one of this, now I got nearly 100. This I got nearly 100. This nearly 100. See, from one I multiplied all this.
But you could have spent this time doing anything else. Why gardening? Why 7 hours every day on gardening?
Because I am not interested in money, number one. I am happy if I lead a good life. I want a good life. For a good life, you must be healthy. Wealth doesn't bring you happiness. Health brings you happiness. Health is wealth. So I enjoy it. And since I don't want money, it gives me enough pleasure to do this. I am happy all the day.
You are not bothered about...
Now, I told you about this plant. Yes. See how many I have planted here. I brought the same thing. Same thing with this. I have multiplied them a number of times. Same thing. See, I have taken it there. Now, there are three here. 1 minute. One. See how many they have come. One, two, three. Now, I can take this out and put it in another. In one, I can get another. Now, I'll show you another plant here. Now, these are all plants. I had only one of this. Now, see how many there are.
Like this, he went on, you know. His passion for plants, his passion to grow them, to multiply them. The respect he had for the plants, the love he had for the plants. They say the best expression of love is time. And that is what he did. He devoted plenty of time to the plants. 6 hours, as he mentioned, on an average with his plants. And he went on to show me, see this is lemongrass, you know, you can make tea with this. This is another herb which he used as a painkiller, and so on and on and on. And as I was hanging around him, listening to him, absorbing everything that he had to say about his different plants as if they are his children, then I saw in one corner of the garden there was a heap and something was covered on that mound, and it was a plastic cover. So I got a bit curious and I asked him, what is all that in a corner of the garden?
So what are all these piled up there?
You know, all this is waste material which has been thrown away by people residing here.
From this building?
From this building. They take some drinks, they throw away the bottle. They have no value for it. I have great value for it. By selling all this, I can easily make about 200 rupees a month.
So you do that every month to collect all the waste?
This is all collected in the last 1 month. Just see, people buy water. These are all water bottles. So people drink the water and throw it away. I bring it. Even if it is on the road, I'll bring it. Now similarly, this waste paper, there is a store here. They throw away waste paper. It's a good paper. I can use it for typing. I type and then throw it here. Similarly, bottles, not only bottles, other things also, cardboards.
So you segregate them?
Yeah, segregate them. All bottles separately, these things separately. You know, they buy these things, they throw it away. So it's all that. Now, this is mine. I use this for my house, hit for the mosquito. So this can be sold for 3 rupees. I keep it here. I've got 3 or 4 like that.
You don't want to waste anything?
I don't want to waste anything. There's enough for everybody in this country, but people should know how to use it.
So like this, we spent hours talking about his collection, which everyone thought is waste, but for him, it was wealth. And that really reminded me of what Gandhiji always used to say. This country, this earth, has enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. And if everyone gave value to what is there with him, around him, what God has gifted us, then we would never be short of anything that we need and that our brothers need and that our fellow men need in this world. So as we started talking this, then, you know, after some time we started climbing the stairs to his room. He had done hours of gardening. And then as we were about to enter his room, just in front of his room, I spotted this pile of big envelopes. So many of them, brown envelopes, huge envelopes, and something was neatly packed inside these covers. They were very neatly arranged and kept next to his shoe shelf outside his room, and I wanted to question him about it because, you know, everything is so curious about this fantastic person. Everything about him was revealing to me something, so I just could not contain myself.
What is that bundle in your hand?
These are all envelopes, letters received by Mahatma Gandhi. These are the envelopes.
Envelopes are the letters received by Mahatma Gandhi?
Letters are given to Mahatma Gandhi.
You have kept the envelopes with you?
Envelopes are kept for a purpose.
What is the purpose?
Supposing this is an envelope, where is the knife? Oh, here it is.
It is there.
I am supposed to open it here, right?
Yes.
And open it here, right? This is paper to be used by Gandhi for his writing.
So this is how Gandhi used to use?
Yes.
Envelopes?
Yes. Same thing I have to do for all the envelopes. Because he died, I didn't open them. You understand my point?
Oh my God.
I am supposed to open all these and for his writing purpose, this is this one. I use it for typing.
Now?
Even now. And after typing it, I keep it here. Then, even small paper I don't waste. All these I collect and sell it for 8 anas a kilo.
8 anas a kilo. It just gives you only 8 anas a kilo. But is that...
Now in the last 2 months, I kept so many. See how many there are. Inside that, I kept all in one place.
But it fetches you so little, is it worth doing it?
Why throw it on the street? Who is going to clean the street? I am at the same time keeping the place clean. I am not devoting any time for this. Instead of throwing it, I keep it here. And when a man comes, he pays and takes it away. I don't have to spend even 5 minutes for this.
So you save paper, you save nature?
Everything, everything is saved. Same thing with magazines. Now all these are papers. Now these are magazines. They get better price, 3 rupees 8 anas per kilo. This is only 2 rupees a kilo. See, some magazine has come to me. I don't need it. Read it, finished. This gives me 350 a kilo.
But generally people just put it in the dustbin and it goes.
And when people here throw it in the dustbin, I bring it and keep it here. They don't know the value of money.
Nothing is waste.
Nothing is waste.
You have never seen Gandhiji waste anything?
Nothing, never. There is enough in the country. Why waste? This is economy which I learnt from Gandhi. Lady Mountbatten once asked Gandhi to travel by air after independence. He said, instead of going by third class, you can travel by air, you will be comfortable. Gandhi said, I don't need any comfort. I am comfortable even in my third class. But if I go by third class, how can I see the poor people whom I want to serve? If I fly by air, I can't see the poor people. From Bombay to Madras I come, but there are so many poor people on the way. By train I can see them. That's why he said, no, I don't want air travel, I don't want facility, I am enjoying everywhere. I've got comfort even in the third class compartment. But I want to serve the poor.
So that is his logic of keeping everything, every little bit of paper that comes out of his home, neatly packed inside envelopes, every bit of magazine, every bit of newspaper, nothing goes waste. Everything goes for recycling. Respect every little thing. And use it till it can be used in some form or the other. The most optimum use of everything that you have got. And in fact, as he was talking about those special envelopes, which are envelopes of letters written to Gandhiji, and those are the ones, the only ones that he's actually not disposing of and which is keeping it with himself. As he mentioned, he would have earlier given them to Gandhiji, or he would have used it to type whatever Gandhiji dictated. But now, after the passing of Gandhiji, he keeps them as a memorabilia. These are historic items now, and he later told me how so many people are asking him for those, and they're willing to pay many dollars for that. There are people who have come with $10, $20, $30 for each envelope, and he has plenty of them. He has bundles of them. He says, I can make thousands of dollars, but I don't want to do that. I would like to preserve them. What would I do with the money? So after this revelation, you know, every moment with him was a revelation. And then I thought, you know, we had done hours of gardening and we had talked for a little while, and I thought it is perhaps time for him to just rest for some time, because he was there tending to the plants for almost four, five hours. But he said, no, I have to go up. He was going up the terrace now. He was going to the climbing the staircase, and I was wondering, where was he going now? It's a time to perhaps take a short break. He's 91. After 4 or 5 hours of strenuous work, he's now going up. I asked him, where are you going? He said, oh, I have one more garden to attend to. I said, garden? You just now came from garden. You don't know, there's another garden. Garden on the terrace. I said, what do you grow there? I said, you come, I'll show you. And so I went there. A variety of plants, but these are different. These are not the flower or decorative plants which are there on the ground. This was his kitchen garden. Garden to serve his kitchen. And you know, very nonchalantly he started showing me the different things that he's been growing there for years.
So here you have more of it.
What is there? Bindi is there.
Lady finger.
Then this side we have got kire. Spinach. That one. See how big it is. See how nice this. How nice it is. How green. No insects, nothing. Very good. First class. Kere.
But why do you grow this?
Daily eating.
So you cook from what?
Yes. Today I have not cooked, so I have not taken. Otherwise I would have taken these one or two.
So you never buy vegetables?
I don't buy vegetables. Outside? There is no need for it. I got there also. Kere.
And you do the cooking yourself?
Yes, I do it myself. See, and the banana I get shoots. Banana fruit I got once a year at least.
I think no one can imagine that on the rooftop here you have a vegetable garden.
Yes. Here see, bindi. Again.
Lady's finger,
see. Can you see it?
Yes.
Coming. Small
finger,
one. Lady's finger.
Coming.
I put small plants now.
This is aloe vera.
Aloe vera.
Medicinal plant.
Yes. Then there is brinjal. This is at Bougainvillea, which I brought from Puttaparthi.
Oh, You got this flower and put up.
Not this one, the water I planted there.
So that's how. We spent another 2-3 hours just talking about his beautiful garden of vegetables. Banana to brinjal to lady's finger to greens. And even as he was talking to me, he would never pause. Work would go on continuously. He would never look at me. He's always bent, busy watering them, busy tending to them, busy turning the soil and etc. and talking. And off and on, even climbing down the staircase to a small corner in the staircase where he's kept all the manure and seeds and all that. So showing me this seed and this manure, this is what will work for this plant and so on and so forth. It went on. And finally, when he came down, he brought with him some greens and some lady's finger. And he went straight to his kitchen. And he said, okay, now we'll do our cooking. So he started his cooking. He said, ah, it's very easy. There is nothing. You just wash the rice. And you know, he washed the dal and he put it in the cooker. He kept the vegetables in the fridge. And then he said, that's all, it's done. 10 minutes, our food will be ready. Don't worry. And so he went to his bedroom now. He sat on his special massage chair. It's a very interesting, he's got this beautiful massage chair where the chair would automatically knead his muscles, his back muscles and his calf muscles and all that. So he doesn't need anyone. That machine does the job of giving him a bit of relaxation. And even as that is going on in the background, he would read his newspaper. Meanwhile, he would get a phone call. So he will attend to all that. And then 10-15 minutes up, he's back in the kitchen, takes the rice and dal, he mixes it and he mixes it with ghee and he says, see, it's ready. Lunch is ready. And he had done for me too. He said, no, I have cooked for you too. I was protesting. He said, no, I have cooked for you. And so, you know, I had with him and I must tell you, it was very simple food, but I really enjoyed being there. I really enjoyed that whole experience of eating with him, being with him, and that rice and that ghee and that dal. Even though it was simple, it was heavenly for me. And after ghee, rice, we had rice with curd, and so simple food, healthy food, nutritious food. And after that, he immediately cleaned all the vessels. He did not allow me to touch to clean anything, you know, to take the sponge and clean. He didn't allow me to do anything. He said, no, I have to clean it. And everything has to be in its place. Everything has to be spick and span. And the kitchen in half an hour was back to where it was 30 minutes ago. Everything perfect. And now, I was waiting for a chance to ask him if we can sit down and talk. Because there is so much more to know about him, about his life, his childhood. What is it that has made him what he is today? So I requested him if we could, you know, spend some time and talk. He said, okay. And even as he was telling me, you know, he just closed his eyes. And I saw he just slipped into sleep. So I thought, oh, okay, he's going to sleep now. He's 91 years, you know, he really needs rest. He's worked whole morning. But that rest was only for 10 minutes. He got up exactly after 10 minutes. He said, huh, I'm done. I'm done with my siesta. So that's fine. Now I'm fresh. And he was literally fresh. He was very fresh now. And he said, that's all he needs, he said, for the entire day. If he gets this 4, 5, 10 minute naps, 10 minutes power naps, if we can call that, that's enough. He doesn't sleep at any other time. The whole entire day, he just needs 4, 5 hours of, in his 24 hours, if he just needs this 4, 5, 10 minute batches of power naps, that's all is needed for his rest, in spite of all the hard work. Anyway, so we went back. So I requested him if we can talk now. He said, okay. He had some typing to do. He finished all that. And then we started talking about his childhood, his early years and so on.
I was born in 1922. Till 1947, till we got independence, I had never visited a village. Okay. I was all the time in either Delhi or Simla, which were very well developed. We had all the facilities. I was wondering why Gandhi wanted independence at all.
Oh.
We are leading a good life.
So you have everything.
Where is the need for India to rule over? Let anybody rule over us. We want a good government. I mean, we should have all the facilities, basic necessities of life, all are met.
This is what we thought as it is.
Yes. I didn't imagine that India belonged to Indians and only Indians should rule over us. I didn't think like that. But later I came to know why Gandhi wanted independence. There are nearly 750,000 villages in India. There are 8 lakh villages in India. I had not visited any village. So I didn't know how people lived in villages. Gandhi knew how people were living in villages. They were living in huts. They had no electricity. They had no good water supply. They had no education. They had no medical facilities. They had no transport facilities.
So that's how he started narrating about how the perspectives in life changed for him. He was brought up in a very good middle class family, so he had all the facilities and amenities, so he never really felt the dearth of anything. He had good English education, and at that time people from the south were called Madrasis, and they were in fact the educated lot in India. Most of the paperwork in the British offices were done by them, and given that that was also his background, and he was fluent in English, he too followed that same path of joining the government service.
I joined the government service under the British in 1941 for nearly 1 year. My boss was an Englishman. I didn't know anything about Khadi. I had only heard of Gandhi and that he had asked people to wear khaddar. And he had a spinning wheel. I had not seen a spinning wheel. But my boss, who was an Englishman, he had no children. His wife was very fond of thick cotton material. That was only khadi. In those days, khadi was never like this. Khadi was as thick as this.
In those days. So thick.
Nowadays, it looks like muslin.
Yes.
It was never seen in those days. Khadi was always very thick.
Very strong.
Yes. And it was good for skirt material.
Okay.
So my boss's wife wanted to buy some khadi material to make a skirt for herself. She wanted me to accompany her to the khadi bandar where khadi was sold. It was started by Gandhiji.
This is in Delhi?
Delhi, in Chandni Chowk. I was living in Delhi in those days. She took me, why? To act as an interpreter, because she didn't know Hindi. So she wanted to buy material for her, to make a frock for herself, gown. I went with her to Chandni Chowk, visited the Khadi Bandar for the first time in my life. That was at the age of 21. I didn't know anything about khadi. I used to wear fine cloth, which came from London in those days. And khadi was very thick. I didn't even like it. She bought some material. While she was purchasing material in one counter, I went round other counters in the same shop. There were hankies and towels. I used hankies which came from London in those days, or which were manufactured in mills in Ahmedabad. But here, there was khadi hankies. They were sold for one anna. So I had with me about 4 rupees with me. In those days, 4 rupees was a good amount. I had carried 4 rupees with me. When she said one anna, I thought, why not I buy one hanky? I bought one. Then she was still at the counter making purchases. There was still time for me to go round and round. I went to another counter. I asked them what it would cost for me to make a kurta and a pajama.
Okay.
In those days, during British days, till my age of 21, I was anglicized.
Okay.
Never went out without a tie and a collar and a hat and all that.
Okay.
Always a suit, no. never wore a pajama. So that man said,
like Gandhiji also was pretty anti-sized.
Khadi, kurta and a pajama, he said it would cost 8 or 9 rupees. So I thought, why not I order for that? 8 or 9 rupees only for the cloth. I purchased the cloth, gave it for stitching. They said, you collect the pajama and kurta after 3 days. So after 3 days, I gave them the stitching material, about 4 rupees, for stitching both. Only 4 rupees. Mm-hmm. And I got the kurta and the pajama. So I told you, in those days, Gandhi wanted independence.
Yes.
Because he thought villagers also should live in grandeur, should live without having to beg for food, live a decent life, lead a good life.
Yes.
And having worked with an Englishman, I was a workaholic and I hated secretarial work. Though I joined him to do secretarial work in the secretariat, I didn't like that work. My job was to type and to write letters and look after correspondence. All that was paperwork. I never liked paperwork. I want to see results of my work. I want to work manually and see the results. So I had learned many things from the Englishman, gardening and all that. So I was all the time wanting to do some manual work. That took me to an ashram in Sevagram.
So Sevagram in Hindi means a village for service. And the name of the village, it's the name of the village in the state of Maharashtra, India. This was the place where Gandhiji set up his ashram. Previously it was named as Shigaon. It was Mahatma Gandhi who renamed it to Sevagram. And that is where so many of his contemporaries lived and worked, and Gandhiji too spent plenty of time there. There's a big history to Sevagram. We'll come to that in a bit. So how Kalyanam came to Sevagram is this. In those days, Mr. Devdas Gandhi, who is the fourth son of Mahatma Gandhiji, he was the editor of Hindustan Times. And Mr. Kalyanam's boss, his English boss, had a friend in the secretariat who was a great lover of Gandhi. And he happened to be a friend of Devdas Gandhi. And he was also a friend of Mr. Kalyanam's family. So that friend, who was a friend of Devdas Gandhi, was a friend of Kalyanam's family, and he is the one who put him in touch with Devdas Gandhi. And when Devdas Gandhi came to know from their family, from his friend, that this youngster, he's more keen in doing a different kind of work. He's not so interested in doing secretarial kind of work. He wants to do physical work and he really wants to contribute to society. And he's not really finding a lot of joy in doing what he's doing. So he said, why don't you come and join Sevagram? And so that is how, in sort of in a very oblique way, he got introduced, as you saw, to Khadi and Gandhiji. And, you know, in fact, of course, later he wore only Khadi. Mr. Kalyanam, even till this day, he wears kurta pajama made only of Khadi. And just like his introduction to Khadi and Gandhiji was sort of very curious, it was the same how he became a freedom fighter too. I mean, that story was also very interesting that he told us on that afternoon in April 2013.
So he encouraged me to go to the ashram. And before that, what happened? When this independence movement was started, Quit India movement,
yes,
somebody gave me a pamphlet.
Yes.
Small pamphlet, 4 or 5 lines in English. I didn't read what it was. They said, insert it under the doorstep of people living in your locality, but don't insert it under the doorstep of Englishmen,
okay,
of all Indians. There are other Indians. Insert it under the doorstep, unobserved by anybody, and do it late at night at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me about 50 pamphlets. First day I took about 20 at 10 o'clock, inserted it under the
doorstep. So you didn't question why you have to do it?
No. I didn't even read it. We used to help each other. So, yeah, then first day I inserted 20. Second day also.
So it was in which language?
English. Second day I inserted 20. Then I had some more. And there are 100 houses in my house, in my locality. He must have given it to other people in their locality. But in my locality, I had to do it. Third day, as I was inserting it, a police sergeant caught hold of me. In those days, police sergeants were Anglo-Indians, very hefty fellows. He was going on a motorbike. At 10 o'clock, he saw some light burning from my house. He came and saw me. So what are you doing? He said, I'm inserting this under the door. He took the paper, he read it. Do you know what it is? He said, no, I have not read it. He said, this is treason. You're asking the Britishers to leave the country. I said, I have not read it. I don't know. Somebody wanted me to help them. I said, I'm helping them. So I was arrested.
You were arrested?
Arrested and taken to Connaught Place, New Delhi police station. There was no place for me there, because many congressmen had been arrested in the Quit India movement. There were a big crowd. So they transferred me to a Lahore jail the next day. So I spent nearly 8 to 9 months in a Lahore jail.
9 months in jail?
So that is how I became a freedom fighter, not knowing that I am actually fighting for freedom.
So that is the interesting thing about him being a freedom fighter. And of course, after he came out of the jail, he came out of the jail very quickly, because he was a very well-mannered prisoner who did his jobs well, and seeing that his conduct was very good, they released him, and with no conditions, and there was no one was after him. And so he worked in an insurance company for some time, and after that, Kalyanam came and joined Sevagram. And as I was mentioning you before, Sevagram is the ashram which was set up by Gandhiji. In fact, when Gandhiji started his Padayatra, the foot march in 1930 from Sabarmati ashram to Dandi for that salt satyagraha, the Dandi march, he had decided not to return to Sabarmati till independence. And independence was not attained at that time, and Gandhiji was imprisoned for more than 2 years at that time. On his release, Gandhiji spent some time traveling, and he decided to make a village in central India his headquarters. So he came to Wardha in 1934 at the invitation of Jamnalalji Bajaj. And in April 1936, Gandhiji established his residence in this village, Shigaon, which he renamed as Sevagram, which, as I mentioned, means a village of service. Gandhiji was 67 years old when he came to Sevagram. And from then on, Sevagram became a very inspiring place. Many decisions on important national matters and movements were started and taken in Sevagram. In fact, it became the central place for a number of institutions for the nation-building activities, which were later devised, directed by Gandhiji to suit the inherent strength of this country. And geographically, it is 8 kilometers from Wardha town in Maharashtra and 75 kilometers from Nagpur. In spite of many practical difficulties and no much good connectivity to that village, somehow Gandhiji decided to stay there. And though he did not have many intentions of actually keeping anybody with him there except Kasturbaji, his wife, but the pressure of work necessitated more colleagues to come and stay there, and that's how this whole Sevagram ashram became a full-fledged institution. And it is to this place that Mr. Kalyanam went from once he was released from prison, and after he has expressed his interest that he wants to do some work, some manual work, some physical work, and contribute to society. So we'll take the story from there, his initial moments in the Sevagram.
After working in the insurance company, you moved to the
ashram. Yes. I went by train, Grand Trunk Express, to Wardha. In those days, trains took 2 days. Nowadays, it reaches within 1 day. I was hungry. I had about 100 rupees in my hand. I reached the ashram. Ashram was for about 8 miles from Wardha station. It was a dusty road. I took a tonga. Tonga is a horse-driven carriage. I reached the ashram. In the ashram, there was only a skeleton staff. Most of them were in jail because of the Quit India movement. The skeleton staff consisted of the manager and about half a dozen others. That's all. They were looking after the ashram. I had taken a recommendation letter from Devdas Gandhi. I produced it before them. They asked me some questions in Hindi.
So there was a manager of the ashram?
Manager of the ashram. Then he asked one of the staff members to show me my place of stay. In Delhi, I was living in a house like this, yes, with electric lights, fan, attached toilet, with all facilities. But there were no houses, all thatched huts, no electricity, no water tap, only well water, no kitchen, only a common kitchen where we ought to help. Everybody had to help. No toilet, only trench latrines. And only work I had to do there was to look after the fields, do some work in the fields, because ashram contained, had a number of acres growing agricultural crops in Sevagram. Gandhi was not there. I didn't know that was Gandhi's ashram.
Even then you didn't know?
No. I went there. Then, when I talked to the manager, he called another man, said, show him his room, his hut. So he took me to a hut. He said, from today you will stay here. In Delhi I was living in a residential building. So here I saw it was thatched. Anyway, I liked rural life, so I didn't mind it. No electric lights, only kerosene lamps. No water supply, nothing of the kind. As we entered the room, it was a mud hut. You remember?
Yes.
I saw a centipede. You know a centipede?
Yes.
Crossing on the floor. I left my slippers there along with that man who came to show me the room. Left the slippers there, entered the room. I saw a centipede. I went back, took my slipper and hit it. It became a chutney. This man shouted at me, oh, what have you done? I said, no, it's a dangerous creature, insect. No. We believe in non-violence. I didn't know what was non-violence. I knew violence is hitting. But non-violence, I didn't understand. I said, what is non-violence? He said, Gandhi believes in Gavahu. I said, who is Gandhi? He is Mahatma Gandhi. So he told me it is Mahatma Gandhi's ashram.
Oh,
and you should not kill anything. Then I said, what should we do? Then what should we do? He said, you take it, remove it and throw it in the field where you are working in the morning. Sir, I can't lift it, it may bite me. He took it out and then. I stayed there for nearly 2-3 months. I saw not only centipedes, scorpions coming to my room, snakes coming into my room. We are not supposed to kill anything. That is non-violence. So we are supposed to...
Did that not bother you?
I used to keep the light burning all night, kerosene lamp, and...
You were able to see? You were not afraid?
I was afraid. But still I liked the place, I liked that kind of life, so I stayed there. My job after working in the field was to come to the hut at about 11 o'clock when the sun was rising, you know. Then letters came for Gandhi, addressed either to the ashram or addressed even to the Aga Khan Palace.
Okay.
He was not supposed to receive letters.
Yes, at that time he was in Aga.
So even letters addressed to him in Aga Khan Palace were diverted here.
Okay.
They were in different languages. Every day at least 30 to 40 letters came. English, Tamil, Gujarati, foreign letters in Spanish, German, Italian. My job was to segregate letters language-wise. Open up the letters. I showed you the envelopes this morning.
Yes.
I was asked to cut it and slit open both sides, use the back side for writing purposes, no wastage of any kind. All that I learned from there.
Opened the letters, kept the envelope separate and the letters
separate. If there were simple letters written by you, I want to come to the Varda ashram, how should I come? That the manager can reply,
yes,
take this train, get down at Varda and come here. But supposing somebody asked something about non-violence or passive resistance, or what Gandhi's ideas are and all that, that is Gandhi should reply. So such Gandhi letters, I used to tie them up in bundles. Tamil bundle, Malayalam bundle, Canarese bundle, Italian bundle, German bundle, all.
You knew a few languages?
Reading it, no, it is a foreign language, keep it separately, that's all. So when he came when Gandhi was released in 44, he came to the ashram and looked at those letters and started using me for his stenographic work.
Okay.
Till then I was working only, I went to the ashram only to do manual work. But he used me again for secretarial work, which I hated. But I didn't know that he was Gandhi. I didn't know that he was Gandhi and I never knew that he was wearing loincloth.
You had not seen a picture?
Never seen a picture. I had only heard of Gandhi. So he was talking to a man dressed like this, and that man was, Gandhi was in a loincloth, so I mistook Gandhi for a servant. And I thought this man was the boss.
Oh,
do you understand my point?
Yes.
I thought this man was giving some instructions to the servant to do some work at home. This man went away and Gandhi saw us and he invited us to sit with him. Till then we were standing near the room door. He was talking to him, and after they left, he came and sat on his mattress. He recognized the ashram people, so he asked them to come in.
So the manager of the ashram was with you?
Not the manager, somebody else was there. Then, when he came and sat down, I thought he had come to speak to them, and he's in his dress, probably he wants to go for his bath.
Okay.
First I thought he's a servant. Then I came to know that he was Mahatma Gandhi. Then he came and talked to them, I thought he wants to dispose them off and then go for his bath. Otherwise, going for his bath may come take some time. So he wanted to talk to them and go. So I thought I mistook him for taking bath. First I mistook him for a servant, then I thought he is only going for a bath. But later I came to know that that is his usual dress. I came to know about it much later. I returned to Sevagram.
He exchanged a few words with you at that time?
He exchanged a few words. I didn't understand anything because it was in a very low tone. Not only that, he didn't have his dentures on. So all the time I was hearing a shh-shh-shh-shh sound. But putting two and two together, I learned. I understood what he wanted. I replied to his queries. He asked me whether my parents were alive, whether they were dependent on me. Probably he thought I may have to send them money every month. And he asked me, what is the salary you are drawing with the British before you came here? I said I was drawing 250. Then he suddenly opened his mouth, oh, I can't pay you 250, I can pay you only 60. He thought I am going to demand a salary. But Devadas Gandhi had assured me that if you go to the ashram, you'll get free food, free lodging. I was never after money in my life from that day till this day. So I never bothered about anything. So long as my basic necessities are provided free, I don't want money. So I boldly told him, I don't want even 60, I'm prepared to work free for you. So I came back, but Gandhi never came back. He was undergoing treatment in Bombay.
Yes.
From there he went to some other places for treatment. He came only after 2 or 3 months.
Yes.
Then he asked me to remove all those bundles which I have bundled up, letters.
Yes.
He started dictating replies.
So from then on, Mr. Kalyanam went on to share about his moments of working with Gandhiji, because he, as I mentioned to you, was the private secretary of Gandhiji for the years 1944 to 1948, this last few years of Gandhiji. In fact, he was there around Gandhiji when, on Jan 30th, when Gandhiji uttered Hey Ram as he left his mortal coil. He traveled with Gandhiji extensively when Gandhiji, during those troublesome years of 1947, 1946, 1947, 1948, when there was tremendous, unimaginable communal disharmony in this country, leading on to partition and all those sad chapters of this nation. He was a witness to all that, serving Gandhiji and watching from the other side of the drama, from the side of Gandhiji. So there are plenty of very inspiring anecdotes, plenty of lessons of life that he has learnt from Gandhiji. And the most interesting thing is how much he has absorbed everything that he saw, witnessed and learnt from Gandhiji. You got a glimpse of his life, a glimpse of his routine. I got a glimpse not only how he is inspired by Gandhiji and leads such an exemplary life, but also how he has silently but surely and in ways unimaginable has transformed people around him. When I was there talking to him, I happened to meet a youngster who lives in the same building. His name is Prabhu. A young graduate from the college who started his business and just got married with a lovely child and etc. And you know, doing all those things. He wants to enjoy life. And he told me how just by noticing and watching Mr. Kalyanam, his life has changed in ways that he never ever thought. Never ever thought that he could ever think in the manner he's thinking now. So there are plenty of inspiring anecdotes relating to Kalyanam and all around Kalyanam, all inspired from Gandhiji. And if you can think about it, Mr. Kalyanam is someone who was inspired by Gandhiji. And what was the source of inspiration for Gandhiji? It was that spiritual undercurrent. It was that power of the soul. It was that power of Rama that he always relied on. That is what gave him that strength to go and do things that no one ever dared. To chart a new path in political revolution. To show humanity what can be done. Without even speaking a word, without even picking a gun, without even raising your voice, how you can still be such a commanding leader. So that was the power of the soul that Gandhiji demonstrated and that we see today in Kalyanam's life and people who are inspired by Kalyanam's life. There's much, so much more to this and we'll continue this. There's already time, it's 10 o'clock, more than 10 o'clock, so I have to wind up this session for today. But we'll continue this story of Mr. Kalyanam and his learnings and how he is an inspiration in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. But I want to leave you with this thought, dear listeners. Mr. Kalyanam is what he is because he's inspired by Gandhiji. And Gandhiji was inspired by Rama. And we have been fortunate to not only see but also interact. Some of us have got the opportunity to touch, to have photographs, to listen to him directly, to spend sessions with him in the mandir, in the interview room, the same Sai Rama. If a Rama could inspire Gandhi, and a Gandhi could inspire Kalyanam, and a Kalyanam could inspire a Prabhu, we who have been blessed with the darshan, sparshan and sambhashan of Sai Rama, what is our responsibility and how we should raise ourselves and be worthy of all that we have received. Let us take a moment, pause and reflect. Father Damien said, how can I call myself a follower of Christ if I cannot give my life away in service? All of us who call ourselves Sai devotees, maybe this is something to ponder on. On this day, which is called Martyrs Day, we have to, if anything that we have to give up, we have to kill, it is kill all that is unholy within us. Kill our ego, kill our hanging on to the past, kill everything that is not making us divine. So dear listeners, we'll continue this session next week. Thank you so much for being with us during this entire day, listening to Thursday Live straight from the studios. We hope you enjoyed these sessions. If you have any queries or suggestions, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We will do our best to do anything that would make our programs a better offering at His lotus feet. Thank you so much for being with us. And as I quit, a loving sidearm from Prashant and LM. I am Team Leader S.S. Bishu, and you will continue to listen to a drama now entitled Sita Kalyanam. It is presented by the devotees from Bihar and Jharkhand. It was done in front of Bhagwan on 3rd March 2010. So you will listen to a recording of this performance. So enjoy this. Thank you so much. And till we meet next time, a loving sidearm from Prashant and LM.